There is a logic of the hara just as there is a logic of the mind. I think the Ibn Ezra says in regard to the pasuk, the after for the Shem Lekecho, b'chol levofcho, b'chol nafshecho, b'chol meidecho. So he says b'chol levofcho obviously means the heart, and b'chol meidecho, meidecho means with your whole might, but according to the Ibn Ezra it means the mind of man. It is the mind of man that represents the whole might of a person. If you take away the mind of a person, he has no power. We have to love God with our heart, and we have to love God with our minds. There are commandments which stem from the wisdom of the heart, and the commandments which stem from the wisdom of the heart. And the two tefillin, tefillin shel rosh and tefillin shel yad, represent these two categories. The tefillin shel rosh represents the category of mitzvahs that stem from the wisdom of the mind and the head. And the tefillin shel yad, which is keneged alev, represents the category of mitzvahs that stem from the wisdom of the heart. And the halacha is that the tefillin shel yad has to be put on first, and then the tefillin shel rosh. Sometimes the mitzvahs of the tefillin, of the mitzvahs that stem, that are based upon the wisdom of the mind, do not express all the significance that inheres in the mitzvahs, because of the fact that certain Jews try to give priority to the wisdom of the mind above the wisdom of the heart. And in understanding a phenomenon, a historical phenomenon, something that did not take place in the time of the Chazal, we have to apply primarily, not exclusively, but primarily the wisdom of the heart. And we have to delve into the blank lines of the Torah. We cannot find any explicit statement in regard to the establishment of the Medinat Yisrael. But you can find in the Torah everything, without even resorting to the Zohar, to that which is Nistar and Esoteric. Now, the Haftorah of the last Shabbos tells us the miraculous manner in which the prophecy of Elisha was fulfilled. I don't know whether Melochim is one of the required subjects here in the Yeshiva. So, for the benefit of those who might have forgotten, everything that is mentioned in Melochim prior to this Haftorah, I will just mention it. I'll mention the same briefly. Samaria, Shomron, the capital of the northern kingdom of Israel, was closely besieged by the mighty armies of Syria. And all of Shomron was in the throes of a famine. Ordinary food was unobtainable. Articles of food which under ordinary circumstances would be considered repulsive and abominable were obtainable only at fantastic price. It is even recorded in Melochim that there was a case of cannibalism of one's child The fate of someone seemed doomed for the act towards disaster. Yet, Elisha Hanavi serenely declared that within 24 hours, a measure of the finest flour would be obtainable at the price of one shekel. And there was the Sholish, the bodyguard of the king of Israel, who mocked at the word of the prophet. Whereupon Elisha Hanavi told him that he shall observe this miracle, but he will not be able to eat therefrom. This is the point where the Haftorah of Rosh Shabbos commenced. Desperate and hopeless as the situation of all the inhabitants of Shemay was, the condition of the four Mitzrayim, the four lepers, and Gehazi and his three sons, who became afflicted with physical leprosy as a penalty for the spiritual leprosy with which they afflicted themselves, and who, according to the Rambam's Pirush, in Chul, Pirush HaMishnayis in Chul, represent the symbol of Epicureanism and heresy. The Aminim, says the Rambam, Heimeiru she hishchiro hatavo meyeya nafshom ad she michazim mesanvim vez divrei hatoro kigoin Gehazi v'chareo. Gehazi is mentioned as a symbol of Epicureanism and heresy. Again, no matter how desperate the condition of the inhabitants of Shomron was, the condition of the four lepers of Gehazi and his three sons was infinitely worse. Cast out from the city because of their physical leprosy, they faced certain death by starvation. And they said, if we enter the city, then we are bound to die out of starvation, for there is a famine in the city. If we remain here, we are bound to die out of starvation here. They consequently decided to surrender to the Syrians. At worst, they might immediately be put to death. That would be much better than dying out of starvation. At best, their lives might be spared. They have nothing to lose, nothing to lose, and everything to gain. And as they approached the camp of the mighty armies of Syria, they beheld the miraculous spectacle. The camp was empty, and on every side there were signs of a hasty and panicky flight. And in the flight, the multitudes of the Syrian soldiers abandoned everything, their tents, their horses, the abundance of food, and the precious stones and metals, and the precious raiment. The four lepers, it is mentioned in the Haftorah, proceeded immediately to satisfy their immediate needs and to provide for their future needs. They entered one tent and they took out all kinds of precious things, and they hid it. Then they went to another tent, they packed precious things, and they took out their precious things from the other tent and they hid it. But as soon as they completed, as soon as they had completed providing for their own needs, their consciences began to prick them. And they said, we are not deporting ourselves properly. This is a day of good tidings. We are not allowed to be passive. If we tarry till the next morning, then we will be guilty of an unforgivable sin. They consequently entered the city of Shomron, and they told the good tidings to the inhabitants of Shomron. We thus see that the miracle of deliverance of all the inhabitants of Shomron was carried out through the medium of four lepers, physical lepers, but above all spiritual lepers, Epicureans, meaning now, this has a very important bearing upon Yom HaTzmaut. This parsha, of course, does not mention Yom HaTzmaut. It does not mention Ben Gurion. But it mentions other spiritual lepers. Don't they can be what the name is. There are many Orthodox Jews who do not want to celebrate Yom HaTzmaut. There are many Orthodox Jews, and perhaps there are some Rosh Yeshivas, who do not recognize the importance of the establishment of Medinat Yisrael. And they give a very good reason. And I must admit that from the point of view of logic of the mind, I would agree with them. The argument that is raised by these individuals is that Medinat Yisrael, which represented the culmination of the Chibasiyah movement in the forefront of which many apikorsim had been standing and leading could not be of great historical significance for the Jewish people. Anything that results from a movement that was directed for a number of years by non-observant Jews could not bear any fruit. Consequently, it could not be considered as a step towards Gula, but rather as a step away from Gula. This is one argument. A second argument is that inasmuch as Golas is a penalty for abandonment by the Jews of the path of the Torah, as it is mentioned in the parasha of Hoyam Shemaya, Yishomu lachem, penyivta levafchem, ויסאותם ועבדתם מלים אחרים, וישתחוויסם. ועצר ששמיים ולו ימותו, ואדומו ועשיתי נשיבולו, ועבדתם מהירו מעל אורץ הטבע. That means goles is an enesh for avrizore. Avrizore does not necessarily mean bowing down to the idols. Abandonment of the Torah is also considered as avrizore. It consequently follows logically that any Yeshua, any salvation, any form of deliverance could take place only as a result of Tshuva. And the Chibasiyah movement did not originate as part and parcel of a universal Jewish movement of Tshuva. A third argument against the importance of Medinat Yisrael is the fact that allegedly Medinat Yisrael came into being through natural process, and it was the opinion of some Rabbonim. I think they constitute a very small minority of the Gdil Yisrael within the last 50 years. Any form of Gula must take place Shalei B'Derech HaTeva. Now the Haftorah of Rosh Shabbos has a bearing upon all these arguments. The first argument as to how could any relief to the Jewish people be realized through the medium of Apikorsim. Can easily be rebutted by the precedent of a deliverance that was meted out to the people of Shomron by Almighty God through the medium of the form is on. Not only does this episode show that no Jew can be excluded from the grace of God, not only does this episode show that Yisrael, Asati Shechote Yisrael, that there is an innate tendency towards altruism, even the hearts of spiritual lepers, as was manifested by the Abor Mitzrayim. But it also shows that the Ribbono Shel Olam does not exclude any Jew from salvation, and that the Ribbono Shel Olam sometimes might designate Mitzrayim, spiritual lepers, as the Shluchim through whom a relief and deliverance is to be realized for the whole Klal Yisrael. Consequently, we cannot and ought not ignore the significance of the establishment of Medinat Yisrael simply on the basis of the fact that in the forefront of the movement which culminated in the Medina, and in the forefront of the Medina for the last 18 years, are Jews who stand at a substantial distance from any form of Shmirat HaMitzvot. Perhaps it is a penalty for Orthodox Jews that non-observant Jews are in the forefront of the Jewish Medina. Perhaps exit is the penalty in Hashemayim for the Aznak Jews for their failure in playing the most important role in the Chibasi movement and in the establishment of the Yisrael. But Ba'adah Dekafshe Rachmon Olamalach, it is not our task to ascertain the reasons as to why Apikosim are on the forefront of the Midian. Then, as to the argument, how could any relief, any form of gula take place for the Jewish people when the Jews had not prepared themselves for it through a universal cure? So again we see from the Haftarah that the Rebbein Shalom manifested this in Goyim, in Shomer, even though all the inhabitants of Shomer were already out of his eye. The reason being, as Reb Meir says in Dushan, Boni matem ladishem lekechem afilu bizman sheinei agimit afilu bizman sheinei agim minet bonim afilu bizman ditalchel avidizore mikro bonim shenema bonim reim bonim ashritim bodi agon. And the Rashbun Yeshiva says that we pass on like Reb Meir. The Malbim points out that even Reb Yudah was made it to Reb Meir on account of the rayas from the psukim that Reb Meir cites. We have a very remarkable pasuk in Melachim Beis, chapter, I think, Yudalet. Bishnas Chamishas Rishono Lamatziyu Ben Yeyosh Molach Yehuda Mavatziyu Ben Yeyosh Melach Yehuda Molach Yerobom Ben Yeyosh Melach Yisrael Bishem Rein Arboim V'Yachashono ויעשור רע בעיני יד השם ויסור מכל חטיס ירובום בנבות אשר הכתי את ישראל. He did not depart from the wonderful deeds of ירובום בנבות. הוא הישיף את גבול ישראל מלווי חמוץ עד יום הערובו. כי דבר עד השם מלכי ישראל אשר דיבר ביד עבדי יינו ונמית היה נביא אשר מגס אחיו. He restored the borders of Israel from Hamos until Yom HaRov. There is a machlekes in the Yerushalmi Shvi'is between two Amoraim. One mandoma says, Kol ma she kovash Yeshua kovash Yerovom ben Yeyosh. Everything that Yeshua ben Nun was kevish, Yerovom ben Yeyosh restored for the Jewish people. And one mandoma says, Yeser mima she kovash Yeshua ben Nun kovash Yerovom ben Yeyosh. Now the question arises, why did Yerovom ben Yeyosh, certainly he was not a bigger tzaddik than Ben Gurion, why did he merit such a great deed? Well, the Navi tells us, ki roa adishem mesoni Yisrael meire meid ויפס עוצו ויפס עוזו ואיני זה לישראל ולדיבר עד השם נמחיס השם ישראל מתחת השמיים וישיים ביד ירובום בן יאוש. Many will raise the question, how is it that during the reign of Shlomo the land of Israel was not as extensive as during the reign of Yerobom ben Yeyosh? יאיסה ממה שכובש ישוע בן נון כובש ירובום בן יאוש. During the reign of David and Shlomo, so Eretz Yisrael was so the Jews were all complied with the precepts of the Torah, there were no Israel Israel. And during the reign of Yerobom ben Yeyosh, the bulk of Jewry in the northern part of the kingdom of Israel were Israel Israel. don't follow the example of Yehoram ben Nevat. And the same question arose in the minds of many an Hasidic Jew. It arose in my mind too, many times. How is it that the Hashgoche did not manipulate that 500 years ago when all the Jews were so observant, such an important event did not take place? And ask now under the leadership of a bigger Goyon, such an important event took place? The Novi gives the answer. Because we lo dibber ad Hashem limchis Hashem Yisrael mitachas Hashemayim. During the reign of David, during the reign of Shlomo, it wasn't necessary to make the empire of Israel so extensive. But during the reign of Yehoram ben Yehosh, if this deliverance had not been realized by the Hashgoche, then God forbid, the name of Israel could have been wiped out. Are we to be amazed at the fact that this miraculous episode of the members of the United Nations voting in favor of the establishment of the State of Israel, that United States and Soviet Russia joined hands in order to vote for the establishment of the State of Israel? And that was the only thing, I think, that in regard to which they joined hands. Ever since then, they are not together, United States and Soviet Russia. Why did the Rebbeinu Shalom manifest such a miracle to us, to the Jews of today, who unfortunately, the majority, the bulk of whom unfortunately, do not comply with the fundamental precepts of the Torah? Well, the answer is, 500 years ago, 800 years ago, in the time of the Rambam, in the time of the Mechaber and the Ramo, it was not indispensable for the survival of the Jewish people. The Jews survived very well. They suffered, but they survived. And they blossomed intellectually and spiritually without a Medine. But after the experience of the Nazi Holocaust, the Israelites could not survive any longer. Biyadni doesn't matter. Biyadni can be spiritual weapons. Now, as to the third contention that is raised by many an Orthodox Jew, that the Geula must take place out of the frame of natural prophecies, out of the frame of history. It is true that the Rambam in Hilchas Melachim, when he discusses Yemei HaMashiach, does not mention that prior to Yemei HaMashiach there will be a state of Israel. The Radak in Tilim, both chapters of Tilim, I think one of the Halukyos, Kufnumvogi, does mention it. The Ramban in his Perush and Shir HaShirim, I don't know whether it's here in the library, does mention it. The Ramban doesn't.
I don't know. He says in the 5,000
years,
that's our door, that there'll be a
coming soon.
And then he says that
prior to me, to Yimei Shamashiach,
the Ramban Shabbos, he says.
No, he means Shabbos, he means the culmination of Yimei Shamashiach. He doesn't mean Yimei Shamashiach. He means Eilam Habo. It's the culmination of Yimei Shamashiach.
No, but he talks about the...
I don't know, I didn't see it, I don't know. No. But the Rambam doesn't mention it. But I think that there is a good reason as to why the Rambam does not mention that there could be a state of Israel prior to Yemei Hamashiach. But in order to understand this, we must take notice of a few Mamore Chazal in Perek Chelik, Sanhedrin, Daf Tzadik Ches. One Mamore Chazal runs as follows. Omar Reb Alexandre, Reb Yeshua ben Levi Rome, Ksiv, Ani Ad Hashem Biyita Achishano, it's Pasuk in Yeshaya. I will hasten it in due course. Ksiv Biyito, Ksiv Achishano. Okay, that there seems to be an inconsistency between the expressions. Biyito implies that it will take place in due course. Achishano implies that it will be hastened. Hoketat, loikash. There is no inconsistency. Zochu achishem. If the Israelites merit, if they do tshuva, then it's achishem. Then the gula will be hastened. Loizochu, if they do not do tshuva, the gula will still come. But beito, then it will come in due course. Another maima, again by Rabbi Alexandre. Omar Rabbi Alexandre, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Rome, Ksiv, Oni v'reichei v'alachameir, it's a pasuk in Zechariah. This implies that the Melech HaMashiach will arrive riding on a donkey. Uchsiv, there is a pasuk in Daniel, V'yoru imanenei shnayo, imanenei shmayo, kibarine shoso. And from the clouds there will appear the dmus of a human being, the Melech HaMashiach. Thus implying that the Melech HaMashiach will come from the clouds. Okay, that there's an inconsistency. From the Pasuk in Zechariah it appears that Mashiach will arrive riding on a donkey, and from the Pasuk in Daniel it appears that Mashiach will come from the clouds. Loikash, zochu imanu nishmayo, loy zochu oni v'reichei v'alachamim. If the Israelites merit, then Mashiach will come from the clouds. If they don't, he'll come anyway, but he'll come riding on a donkey. What does that mean? But then, there are two other memorim on the same moment, Daf Tzadik Ches Amid Aleph. Omar Ravabe. Ein lecho keitz migure yoyseh amize. There is no other kets which is more manifest than the one that is mentioned in the pasuk of Yechezkel Tolamed Vov pasuk Ches Shenema V'atem Hore Yisrael Anfechen titenu ufayechen tisu le'am Yisrael ki kevulavi. Ye mountains in Yisrael, your branches shall bear, and your fruit will carry forth for my people Yisrael, for the days are approaching. Ki nini aleichem ufonisi aleichem v'nevaretem v'nizratem. I am turning towards you, and ye shall be tilled and sown. In the land of Israel will be tilled and sown. V'yabesi aleichem odom kol beis Yisrael kulei v'neishu orim v'echoroveis tivneno. God will multiply the house of Israel on it, and it will, and the cities will become inhabited, and the ruins will be built. V'yabesi aleichem odom uveimo v'yrovu v'foru v'yishachti eschem ki kadmiseichem. This is what Chabad says. These sukkim indicate a ketz migule, manifest gule. Chablezer omar, ein lecho ketz migule yeser af mize. And he mentions a pasuk in Zechariah. Adishem Tzvois, Tayoches, Kosik Tes, Yud and Yudales, and Yudveis. Kiyom Adishem Tzvois, Techezak no Yudeichem Hashemim Bayomim Reile, Isad Vorim Eilen Pian Vim, Mashabiyim Yusad Bish Adishem Tzvois, Hayichal Ribonis. The Novi is referring to Yemei Samashiach, in Posik Tes. But then, he says, in Posik Yud, Kilifnei Hayomim Reim, prior to the Yemei Samashiach, there will be no hire for men, there will be no work for the Jewish workers. There won't be any hire for the behemoth. There is no peace for those that come in and those that go out. It will be forbidden for Jews to come into the land, it will be forbidden for Jews to leave the land. One man will be set against the other. There won't be any brotherhood, any friendship between one man and another. But then, immediately following upon these bitter days, Loi chayomi morisheni mani lisheri so mazeni umadishem tzvois, ki zera hasholim, hagefen titin pirio vores titin et hivulo, vahashomayim yitnu talom v'inchalti esheri so mazeh et kolele, v'hoyo kashero yisen vlolo bagoyim, Beis Yehudo Beis Yisroel Keinu Shia Eschem V'yisem Brocho Al Tirou Techezak No Yedech. These psukim represent also a kitzmigo. In other words, we see that there are two kinds of kitzim. There is a kitznister and there is a kitzmigo. The gula, the whole process of gula, from the beginning to the end, can be realized in the form of a ketznister. The ketznister means not in accordance with natural processes, not within the framework of history, on a meta-natural level. That's a ketznister. That's the gula as it is represented by the Niel as coming from the clouds. The Oru in Mane Ishmael. It is possible that the whole Gula will be realized on a meta-natural level. Moshiach will come. Not within the framework of history, not through the medium of natural processes, not through the consent of the members of the United Nations, not through the medium of the Balfour Declaration, but how? On a meta-natural level. From the clouds. That will be realized if the Israelites will do tshuva. Then we have Aftoho, that the Gula will be realized on a meta-natural. And if the Israelites had done real tshuva, then the Jewish people would not have had to go through all this toil and labor and all the suffering and the sacrifices in order to obtain a small Medina. But suppose the Israelites do not do tshuva. Moshiach must come. The Gula must ultimately be realized. Of course, the ultimate Gula cannot be realized without Shiva. But the initial stages of Gula could be realized even without Shiva. But how will the Israelites do Shiva if the initial steps that are conducive towards Gula, that could be conducive towards Gula, do not take place? Through the medium of natural prophecies. In such an event, if the Israelites do not do tshuva, then the initial steps that lead to Gula will take place on a natural level. That will be the Keitz Migula, not the Keitz Nista. The culmination of Gula will always be on a metanatural level. But the initial steps, if Yisrael do not do tshuva, will take place on a natural level. Then it will be a Keitz Migula. Now, what are the symptoms that are indicative of the initiation of Gula on a natural level? So first, Rabbi Yeshua the lady says, Zohu Achishero. Then it will be hastened. Then the Gula does not have to follow any gradualness. But if Lo Yizochu, so is Vito. Then it must follow a natural pattern. And in order to follow a natural pattern, then the Jews are bound to comply with the mandate of L'man Yivorechecho Ad Hashem Elokecho B'chol Asher Ta'aseh B'Shor Asher Ta'aseh V'Lo B'Shor Asher Ta'aseh Shivado. The Rambam writes in the Tshuva to Chachmei Mar Shilyek, V'zoi so iso chet avisenu Mipnei shelo yosku b'kibush ha'arotis. It means kibush ha'aretz, not ha'arotis. The Jews never had any ambitions to conquer any other land besides Eretz Yisrael. But Eretz Yisrael itself is designated by the term ha'arotis because of the Zion army who inhabited Eretz Israel prior to Yeshua. What does the Rambam mean? That the only reason as to why we are in Goles is because the Israelites did not engage themselves in the conquest of Eretz Israel? Don't the Nevi'im mention other things? Do not our sages mention other things? But what the Rambam means in the Tshuva to Chachmei Mar Shilya is that the reason why it was a failure on the part of our ancestors in not taking possession of Eretz Yisrael, there were certain times when the Jews had the opportunity to take possession of Eretz Yisrael, either through warfare or through diplomatic negotiations, and they failed to do so. The reason as to why it was a misfeasance is because the Jews were guilty of certain avirs. And another. But then, immediately following upon these bitter days, Vorichayomi Morishaini Mani Nishiri Somadeni Umadisham Tsoyis. Kizera Hasholim, Hagefen Titin Pirio Voros Titin Esivulo, Vahashomayim, Yitnu Talom Vin Chalte Esheri Sorom Azeh Eskolele, Vihoyo Kashero Yisem Kvolo Bagoyim, Beis Yehudo Uveis Yisroel, Keinu Ishiya Eschem Vyisem Brocho, Al Tiro Utechezak Noyedech. These psukim represent also a Keitz Migul. In other words, we see that there are two kinds of kitzim. There is a ketz nister, and there is a ketz migula. The gula, the whole process of gula, from the beginning to the end, can be realized in the form of a ketz nister. The ketz nister means not in accordance with natural processes, not within the framework of history. On a meta-natural level, that's a ketz nister. That's the gula as it is represented by Daniel as coming from the clouds. The only man in Ishmael, it is possible that the whole gula will be realized on a meta-natural level. Moshiach will come, not within the framework of history, not through the medium of natural processes, not through the consent of the members of the United Nations, not through the medium of a Balfour Declaration, but how? On a meta-natural level. From the clouds. That will be realized if the Israelites will do tshuva. Then we have asked to hope that the Gula will be realized on a meta-natural level. And if the Israelites had done real tshuva, then the Jewish people would not have had to go through all this toil and labor and all the suffering and the sacrifices in order to obtain a small Medina. But suppose the Israelites do not do tshuva. Moshiach must come. The Gula must ultimately be realized. Of course, the ultimate Gula cannot be realized without tshuva. But the initial stages of Gula could be realized even without tshuva. But how will the Israelites do tshuva if the initial steps that are conducive towards Gula, that could be conducive towards Gula, do not take place? Through the medium of natural processes. In such an event, if the Israelites do not do tshuva, then the initial steps that lead to Gula will take place on a natural level. That will be the Ketz Migula. Not the Ketz Nista. The culmination of Gula will always be on a meta-natural level. But the initial steps, if Yisrael do not do tshuva, will take place on a natural level. Then it will be a Ketz Migula. Now, what are the symptoms that are indicative of the initiation of Gula on a natural level? So first, Rabbi Yisrael the lady says, Zohu Achishero. Then it will be hastened. Then the Gula does not have to follow any gradualness. But if loy zohu, so if vito, then it must follow a natural pattern. And in order to follow a natural pattern, then the Jews are bound to comply with the mandate of l'man yivorechecho adishem lekecho b'chol ha-shatayise, b'shor ha-shatayise v'loy b'shor ha-shatayise v'otu. The Rambam writes in the Tshuva to Chachmei Mar Shiliyek, V'zoi soiso chet avisenu, Mipnei shelo yosku v'kibush ha'arotis. It means kibush ha'aretz, not ha'arotis. The Jews never had any ambitions to conquer any other land besides Eretz-Israel. But Eretz-Israel itself is designated by the term Arotis because of the Zion army who inhabited Eretz-Israel prior to Yeshua. What does the Rambam mean? That the only reason as to why we are in Golis is because the Israelites did not engage themselves in the conquest of Eretz Israel? Don't the Nevi'im mention other things? Do not our sages mention other things? But what the Rambam means in the Tshuva to Chachmei Marshilya is that the reason why it was a failure on the part of our ancestors in not taking possession of Eretz Yisrael, there were certain times when the Jews had the opportunity to take possession of Eretz Yisrael, either through warfare or through diplomatic negotiations, and they failed to do so. The reason as to why it was a misfeasance is because the Jews were guilty of certain averes. If the Jews hadn't been guilty of any averes, then the failure on the part of Jews to get possession of Eretz Yisrael through diplomatic negotiations or through warfare would not have constituted a misfeasance. Because if the Jews had not been guilty of any chatoim, then the Gula would have been realized on a metanatural level. But unfortunately, the Jews did not do tshuva. And if the Jews did not do tshuva, then it is the obligation of Jewry to expedite the initial steps that lead towards Gula as far as possible. And that can only be done if we try to realize the initial steps leading towards Gula on a natural level. And our ancestors failed in doing that. That was the misfeasance of our ancestors. Lo yizahu. Then it must be oni v'reichif alachameir. It doesn't mean that Mashiach must come riding on a donkey. But the riding of the donkey is symbolic of gradualness. A camel rides very quickly, but a donkey rides very slowly, step by step. It moves, and when one observes how the lazy donkey moves, so he might get the impression that the donkey will never reach its destination. But no matter how slow a donkey is, it always reaches its destination. Step by step it goes, but in the long run, it will arrive in the destined place. Then the Gula must take place on a natural level. Then Moshiach must come as an Oni V'reichei V'lachanet. Now what are the symptoms of Keitz Migula? This is mentioned by Yechezkel. V'yatem Hore Yisrael Anfeichem titeinu feyeichem tisu l'ami Yisrael ki keyev ulavei. In the Teichache, in Bichukesai, I think, it is mentioned I shall destroy the land v'shomu olero yveichem hayeshvim bo, and your enemies who will inhabit the land will live it desolate. The Tiraskeani makes the remark, Midotevo Yili Yisrael. This has great significance for the Jewish people. The fact that the enemies of Israel will live after inhabiting the land, not for hundreds of years, but for thousands of years, will leave the land desolate. Shein oyveinu meitzi nachas ruach to Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael dovat. And this itself represents a miraculous and fantastic phenomenon. Eretz Yisrael was inhabited by the Romans, and then it was inhabited for hundreds of years by the Christians, then by the Mohammedans, then by the Christians, and then by the Mohammedans again, and then by the Christians again. And until the first pioneers arrived in Eretz Yisrael and settled there, it remained. 80 years ago, it was as desolate as it was 1900 years ago. Eretz Yisrael was always in the center of all the conflicts that went on among the nations of the world. The Christians tried to dominate Jerusalem. The Mohammedans tried to dominate Jerusalem. Wars had been waged in the course of centuries in order to dominate Jerusalem. But Jerusalem and all of Eretz Yisrael remained desolate, in spite of Christian and Mohammedan domination. But when the early settlers, the Chalutzim, and the early settlers of Petah Tikva, when they arrived, they converted a wilderness into a paradise. How can that be explained? What does that show? This is only indicative of a case migule, of certain phenomena that lead towards gule. V'atem hori Yisrael amfeichem titenu ufeyeichem tisu l'ami Yisrael tikeh gulore. If you see that the mountains of Israel will bring forth fruit, there's no more wilderness, then you can know that the days are approaching, that Almighty God is turning toward us. Ki hineni aleichem ufonisi aleichem v'nevadetem v'nizratem. How is Gula realized on a natural level? By full dedication towards the upbuilding of Eretz Yisrael. In what way? Not through war, through peaceful methods, through colonization, through settlement, through the purchase of land from the Arabs. But, says Rabbi Lozor, suppose the Umi Seilom forbid the Jews to settle on the land peacefully. Suppose they forbid the Jews from immigrating into Israel. Suppose that there are boats with Jews who are trying to escape from the Nazi Holocaust, and they are not admitted into the Palestinian port. How then can any Yeshua be realized on a natural level? Through peaceful methods? How can we cultivate the land if boats carrying Jews who are trying to escape from death are being drowned? How can the Jews save themselves peacefully if the United States refuses to admit any immigrants into the United States? Well, the answer is given by Zechariah. Ki lifnei hayomim ro'eim schar odom lo iniya u'schar abeimo inenu v'la yeitze v'la bo in sholei min atzor v'ashalach es kol odom ish bereyu. Prior to the establishment of the Medina Yisrael, there will be no peace for the Yetzir, for the Bo. Jews will not be allowed to emigrate from Eretz Yisrael or to immigrate into Eretz Yisrael. They will not be allowed to leave any land What should be done then? In the event of such a contingency, then the Jews are not bound by the oath of Shelo Yimridu B'Mishalom, because the oath of Shelo Yimridu B'Mishalom is coupled with a corresponding oath that is incumbent upon the B'Mishalom not to persecute the Jews Yisamidai. One is dependent upon the other. If the B'Mishalom violates this oath of Shelo Yishtabdu Yisrael Yisamidai, then the Jews are justified in revolting against the B'Mishalom. In bringing Jews into Eretz Israel against the will of the B'Mishalom, against the consent of the British power. As long as they comply with this war of Shelo Yishtabdu Yisrael Yisamidai, then Jews are obligated to pursue peaceful methods. But if it is a shalach eskolod or mishbireyo, then Israelites are justified in revolting against them. Habol ehod ocha hashkein v'hogoi. That again is in line with a realization of the steps leading to Gula on a natural level. But as long as the B'Mishalom are not aver the Shvuah of Shelo Yishtabdu Yisrael B'Yisamidai, then Jews are limited only to peaceful methods. But if they violate this Shvuah, then Jews are justified in pursuing other methods. The Medrash in Shir HaShirim mentions a story on the pasuk of Mizeis HaNishkofok Meshochach. The certain Amoraim were walking on the road that led to Tveria in the middle of the night. And they walked throughout the night, and then before dawn they noticed the morning star, the Ayeles HaShachar. And one said to the other, "Take good notice of the manner in which the day rises. First appears the morning star, Dayelet HaShachar. Then it dawns, Amud HaShachar. Amud HaShachar takes place about 72 minutes subsequent to Dayelet HaShachar. Then the Netzach Hamor, and then the sun comes out in its full glow. Kachi Gloshon Shel Yisroel. Kimo Kimo, little by little. First the Ayelet HaShachar, first the Amud HaShachar, first, and then the Netzach Hamor, and then the sun comes out in its full glow." If Yisrael do not do tshuva, then the Gula must be realized. The initial stages prior to Gula must take place within the framework of history. Then we must resort to an aliyah by the Talmidei Agor. Then we must resort to an aliyah by the Talmidei Baal Shem Tov. Then there must be an era of colonization of the early settlers of Pesach Tikva. We must resort to a Balfour Declaration, and we have to resort to a Haganah, and we have to resort to a declaration by the United Nations and to a war of independence. These are all steps in the Ayeles HaShachar of the Gula. And it is to be noted that the Medrash does not mention this allegory in respect to Amud HaShachar, but rather in respect to Ayeles HaShachar. Halachically, there is a fundamental distinction between Ayeles HaShachar and Amud HaShachar. Amud HaShachar, according to the halacha, represents day, the beginning of day. All the mitzvahs that can be fulfilled during the day, the evet can be fulfilled after the Amud HaShachar. The chatchila one has to wait till Netzach. But the evet it can be fulfilled Acham Lashach, Bishashat Chak. So immediately upon the Amud Hashacha, a Jew can put on tefillin and daven. But before the Amud Hashacha, even after the morning star appeared, it's still iron. If he puts on tefillin, he's able to lav the eyes. Just as if he put on tefillin, let's say at 12 o'clock at night. But when one sees the Ayelet Hashacha, when one observes the morning star, then he's sure that in another 72 minutes, the Amud Hashacha will come. The Ayelet Hashacha does not mark the beginning of the day, but it's a stage prior to the beginning of the day. It is a step that leads towards the beginning of the day. When the Medrash depicts the realization of Gula, of the on a natural level, then the Medrash mentions not the Amud Hashacha, but the Ayelet Hashacha. Medinas Yisrael does not represent the Amud Hashacha of Gula. I'll soon discuss that. But it represents, in my mind, the Ayelet Hashachar of Gula. The Amud Hashachar of Gula must be something that is already part of the day of Gula. Unfortunately, we have not attained that yet. Perhaps, if in the course of the last 50 years, all the observant Jews had dedicated themselves towards the upbuilding of Eretz Yisrael and would not have allowed the Mitzrayim to take possession of the dominion of Chibat's Siyah movement, then we probably would have attained the Amud Hashacha, perhaps even more, I don't know. But unfortunately, we have not attained that stage. But it does represent the Ayelet Hashacha of Geula. And this is certainly a stepping stone towards Geula. But if you have, let's say, a stepping stone, a stairway that can take you up to Geula, and if you don't walk up the stairway, then you can't reach the higher floor. Medinat Yisrael is a stepping stone, a very important stepping stone towards Gula. But you must utilize and take advantage of this stepping stone by channeling our faces towards God. Now, the prophet Yechezkel says, V'atem hori Yisrael, anfeichem titenu, ufayichem tisulam Yisrael, kikeo vulovei, kiinini aleichem, ufonisi aleichem. If you see that the branches in Israel sprouted forth, and the fruits bore forth, then you should know that the days are approaching, the days of Gula. The Amud Hashachar of Gula can be seen. Kirinini aleichem, ufonisi aleichem. You should know that God has turned toward us. God has knocked on our gates. V'nevaretem v'nizratem. And the best medium of proof that God has turned to us is the fact that we have succeeded in tilling the soil, in sowing the soil, in multiplying the Jews upon the land of Israel, in carrying out the Hekashvus in Israel. But there is a pasuk in Tehillim, Hirchik Mizrach Mimarov, Hirchik Mimenu Shoreinu. As far as east is from west, so have our sins kept us away from Almighty God. The Rebbe of Kotsk once asked his Hasidim, how far is east from west? The Hasidim responded, why the whole world separates east from west? The Rebbe of Kotsk answered, you are laboring under a grave error. if a Jew faces west, and if he turns his head towards east, then he's already facing east. Two, Kirchit Mizrach mi Ma'arov, Kirchit mi Menu Eshoeinu. As far as east is from west, our sins have kept us away from Almighty God. But all we have to do is, Almighty God has already turned towards us. Ki hinini aleichem, ufonisi aleichem, vilevadetem, vilizratem. We have all the symptoms of the Ayelet HaShachar of God. But you know, Medinas Yisrael we have already, it's in our hands. It's not in the hands of non-Jews. It's in our hands. And Yisrael, afal pi shechoto Yisrael, all that we have to do is to turn towards God. It is true that at this very moment, the sins, our sins, I say our, I mean myself, all of us, the sins of the inhabitants of the state of Israel, all of them have kept us away from God by the distance that separates east from west. And can anyone say that the state of Israel does not stand at a distance from Almighty God, even the Chief Justice of Israel, in order to be able to marry a Grusha, comes to the United States and he gets permission from a conservative rabbi? Can anyone say that the state of Israel does not stand at a distance from, I mean the government, not the state. I mean the government in the state of Israel does not stand at a distance from Almighty God, even the same Chief Justice had the audacity to call the Dean of the Torah as not as near God was, and he was not impeached. But God Israel is still in our hands, and the Rebbeinu Shalom has turned toward us. The Rebbeinu Shalom has turned towards Ben Gurion, towards Eshkol, towards all of us. We are all at fault. We all have to be killed. Not only Ben Gurion, all of us. All that we have to do is to turn towards the Rebbeinu Shalom. And as the Kotzke Rebbe said, if we just make one turn, then this distance merges into a proximity with God. All that is required is that the Rebbeinu Shalom should turn towards us. Until Medinat Yisrael was established, then the Rebbeinu Shalom had not turned toward us. Then all the endeavor would be without avail. But with the establishment of Medinat Yisrael, with the Chayk HaShavus, which gives every Jew throughout the world an opportunity to come to Eretz Yisrael and to settle and to mold the land in accordance with the pattern of the Torah. And no one will in Eretz Yisrael stop pious Jews from molding Eretz Yisrael in accordance with the pattern of the Torah. That the Rebbeinu Shalom did. He turned toward us. Hinei aleichem, he said. Ufonisi aleichem. And the best right is when Evadetem and Yizratem. V'nebeisi aleichem odom de chikashvos. All that we have to do is to turn toward God. Now you have time? All right.
Usually they have cars for 5 minutes.